Shalom, brethren. Can I say good morning to you all here in this part of the world? It's morning. I'm your brother James Veremu from Zimbabwe, and I'm grateful to the Lord to afford me yet one more day to fellowship with you around the globe as we share the word of God. I solicit your prayers that the Lord may give us something, even for today, that we may ponder, we may enjoy the fellowship of the word of God. We were talking yesterday on the subject of the glory of God in earthen vessels. So we just want to go to the book of 1 Samuel. We want to read chapter 2 and verse 8. Or maybe we can start from verse 7. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. Here we see this is the prayer of Hannah after God had blessed her and given her the child she was praying for. And on the day that she brought the child to Eli in the house of the Lord, that he may be given to the Lord for the Lord's service, the Spirit of God came upon her, and then she prayed this prayer. You know, this brings to me what Paul says about prayer. He says, we do not know how to pray, but the Spirit of the Lord, in unspeakable words, he prays for us to God according to the will of God. But sometimes God, you know, brings it that we actually speak the words that he wants us to speak, as it is evident when we pray and the Spirit of God comes upon us, we pray in tongues, ourselves not even knowing what we are saying, but the Spirit of God will have come upon us, that very Spirit that can groan within us in unspeakable words can come upon us and make us speak not our own words, but the words of the Lord. You know, like he did with Solomon of old. He says, in a dream, Solomon spoke with the Lord. And while in that dream, God asked him what he would want. And in the dream, Solomon asked for wisdom to rule over the people of Israel. So you can see here that it is a dream which was not controlled by Solomon himself. And what he spoke there, you know, in a dream, you can speak anything and you can do anything in a dream, you know. But if you dream fighting somebody or you dream shouting at somebody, it won't be accounted on you, on your record, that you fought or you did something wrong. But here, you know, we can see how God works within us and with us for the purpose of his own will. With Jacob, He dreamt a dream. The Lord spoke to him in a dream. But when he woke up, that's when he now made the vow that he was going to worship God and that he was going to build a house when he put that stone and poured wood, oil upon it. So here we can see that Hannah was so filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God that she spoke these words. Now, here we see that she is magnifying or giving glory to God because of the doings of the Lord. Here she says, he raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes. Now, God, you know, does not need a prince to make somebody out of him. But he takes the low things of the world. Hannah here, by the Spirit of God, is talking about the poor. He's talking about the beggar, people of very low esteem. But God shows forth his glory so that he may be God. And with the background of knowing who we are and what we are, when God brings us into his presence and starts working with us to show forth what he is, it will make us do one thing. It will make us glorify God because we know our estate. We know who we are. We know what we are. But by the grace of God, God brings us into his glory and he makes us to be partakers or even the mirror through which the world can see the greatness of God. So we see here again that is the nature of God, even as he did it in Christ. When Christ subjected himself to be in a body and also to take on him the form of a servant so that the glory may be to God. So is it now with us, brothers and sisters? God has brought us to him. What God wants is to show his glory. So he does not borrow from us. He does not take from us that which we are. He does not need our wisdom. He does not need our knowledge. He does not need our anything. It is him who works through us. And like Paul says, he says, we are co-workers with him. Now, when we look at the state of who we are, and then we see that God chose us to be co-workers with him. The work of God is perfect. The work of God is glorious. The work of God is past our even our understanding. Yet God wants to show forth that great glory through earthen vessels. That we, you know, it's maybe we can read here what Paul says about us, as we are called to God by God. In the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians in chapter 1, Paul says these words in verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the best things of the world, and things which are despised, yet God chosen. Ye and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. This is what God did when Solomon had built the earthen vessel, that earthen temple. God came down and made his abode in that temple. And because of now the glory of God and the presence of God that was in the temple, it is said, as even Solomon prayed, that when your people leave the way and you scatter them and they are thrown away from the land, if ever they will repent, Shalom, sorry for the interruption. We were saying, God, in the days of Solomon, when the temple was built, Solomon prayed this prayer, that if the people sin against God and God scatters them, when they recognize their sin and repent, when they look at this house, then they pray, God should hear from heaven. Can you see? So they looked to a house that was built by man, yet when they look at that house, it is a gate to heaven. It is a gate to the grace and the mercies of God, so that by the grace of God, then the people are brought back to that glory of God. So you see, it is God who chooses to show forth his glory. And like Paul here, it says, when God called us, it is not many wise, it is not many who are mighty, not many who are noble that are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and he has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So God wants to show forth his glory. God wants to show forth who he is. And, you know, one thing with God, it is that whenever he shows something, it is his very essence. That's who he is. When God created all things, he was not copying from something or someone. He created out of nothing and made the magnificent heavens. When we think of the galaxy, we think of the earth, we think of all these planets and things. It is the greatness of God, yet they came out of nothing. So God has called us, we are nothing. God has brought us to him, we are nobodies. But God, by his grace, he wants to show forth his glory. So you are the manifestation of the glory of God, not because of your excellency, not because of your wisdom, not because of your strength, your money, or whatever you are. God wants the glory to be him, in him. Paul says that it is written that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So the glory is not ours, but the glory is God's. Yet God does not show his glory in our glory. He does not use our glory as a foundation for his glory, but he uses us earthen vessels, the nobodies of the world, those who are not counted as anything in the world. They are those who God calls not to show forth their abilities, but that God may show forth who he is towards those whom he has called. And now, that will now bring us to the real life and thing that we should be. David says in the book of Psalms, he did not been the Lord, let Israel say, we wouldn't be what we are now. When the enemy came to destroy us, it was God who stood up. It was God who delivered us. It was God who made a way for us. When the Red Sea stood in their way, it was God who opened it. When the enemy came against Israel, it was God who stood for them. When there was a hunger in the wilderness, it was God who provided. When there was thirst in the wilderness, it is God who provided. He was showing forth his glory through the weakness of the people. And here are a people wandering in the wilderness. Yet, when the nations of those lands, they saw them, you know, they were confounded. They could not even attack them. The Amalekites tried, but they were overcome. Balaam came, tried to curse them, but God stood for them. When they were looked upon, they were not a people, but the great glory of God could not be hid. It was manifest. It was shown in them. So that at the end of the day, they would look at themselves and show that without God, they cannot be anything. May it be so with us, even in this day, that it is God. But sometimes, you know, we look at the other things that may come, you know, our way. Okay, let's take, for instance, you can be educated, and through education, you are able to write. Through education, you are able to read. But those are not the real things that makes and gives you the understanding and the, you know, the ability to stand, understand, and walk in the Word of God. But it is God's greatness being shown in you, who is, I would say, a nobody. So, we thank God, because like Hannah here, through the Spirit, spoke and says, he takes the beggar from the dunghill. He takes the poor from the dust and sets them among the princes. It is God, even in this day, who has brought us into being what we are. Now we glory in the Lord. How do we glory in the Lord? It is the glory of God that is in us. We who are just earthen vessels, we glory in that glory of God. And that enables us now to walk in the precepts of his word. Now it causes us to walk in the way of the Lord, not because we can, but because he has chosen to come out of glory and rest himself in this earthen temple, which we are, that the dwelling of God may be in us. And then, because God dwells in us, he works with us, in us, he speaks in us, he shows forth his holiness through these earthen vessels. We are now the containers. We are now the instruments through which God now works his greatness. And that does not make us anything more than what we are. It is only the glory of God. You know, when you look at the temple, when the glory of God came down, it did not change even the stones to be something else. They remained stones. The gold that was the ceiling of gold, it remained like that. Everything, the wood, it remained like that. Yet, the glory of God was there. The power of healing was there. The power of forgiveness was there. the power of the glory of God was in there, because now God had come down. And as we know, the enemy, when they were attacking Israel, they wanted to zero on the temple. Like even the Philistines, at one time they took the Ark of the Covenant. Can you see? Because they could recognize that is where God is. And because God is there, then Israel would conquer. And I mean, Israel would have power over them, the Philistines. So they had to take that. When Babylon came to Israel, to Judah, their focus was on the temple. They destroyed the temple. After the Lord came and was glorified, we see also the Roman emperor came to destroy the temple. And then we see again Islam, when they came to Jerusalem, they built their own mosque there at the spot where the temple was. So you can see how glorious, or you know, how it is that where God dwells and shows forth his glory, the enemy wants to attack that. Because there is a weakness, there is that ability for the Philistines to take the ark. There was that ability for the Babylonians to destroy the temple. There was that ability for the Romans to destroy that temple. Yet, it is the glory of God that is shown in the temple. Weak as we may be, but we contain that glory of God, which by the grace of God, we must live and surrender this earthen vessel to the use of the Lord, that God may have his way, do his works, show his glory in us. And at the end of the day, we'll give all the glory and honor to God. May God bless you as we continue by the grace of God tomorrow, if the Lord so wills. Amen.